Hey, babe.
What's up?
What's the difference between California Mexican food and Texas Mexican food?
We are not going to get a divorce in the first episode of our podcast.
The first 30 seconds. Is it that queso is the best part of Mexican food?
I'm fucking out of here.
Do you consider Qdoba to be the best Mexican food?
Hi, we're Leah and Jeremy.
We're the accident-prone travelers behind Practical Wanderlust.
And we're here to dish out travel tips, travel tricks,
useful trivia, useless trivia,
mildly entertaining anecdotes,
and everything else you need to avoid making all of our terrible, 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 terrible mistakes.
And we make a lot of mistakes.
So today we're going to be talking about one of our favorite cities, San Francisco, the city by the bay. And this is one of our favorite cities because, I mean, we kind of live here.
Yeah, I've lived here for like 12 years now.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. You are
11 years.
So old.
It's 11 years.
I've lived here for like 8 years. But when I say here, I actually live in Oakland, which is outside of San Francisco. And we're not going to talk about it because although we love it, it's not San Francisco. We're going to be talking about SF. I've actually never lived in San Francisco.
I have. I lived there for about 5 years when I moved here for college. I was a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kid from a small coastal town, and I took to the city like like a elephant seal to water.
When can I read that book? What? Like, I just want to read your origin stories now.
It was just a lot of messy nights in college. It was basically what it was.
You know what? I think I've seen that one. I think, did Amy Schumer star in that?
Yeah, actually, that was my train wreck. That was my life story.
Anyway, we're going to be talking about San Francisco. We're going to be giving you some actual information, random fun tidbits, Jeremy's local opinions about stuff, and some stories about San Francisco.
We have one very long story that's very near and dear to us.
Look, spoilers, all right?
No, it's not spoilers. It's like foreshadowing.
Spoilers.
All right. Well, let's jump into some weird stuff about San Francisco because people come here because it's weird.
It's the weirdest place. Like, San Francisco is the epitome of weirdness. One of my favorite things, and you're going to actually notice this throughout the episode, we refuse to call it anything other than San Francisco or SF or the city. Those are the three acceptable things that you can call San Francisco.
Yeah. No Frisco, no San Fran.
No. Like, our ears start to bleed a little bit. Everybody here in San Francisco, we're very polite, right? But if we hear you calling it Frisco while we walk down the street, we'll be very upset and we'll probably like passive aggressively tweet something about it. It's, yeah. Don't do it.
Frisco is acceptable twice. If you're ordering a Frisco melt from Steak and Shake.
Which they don't even have here.
Or,
oh, maybe they do, actually. I forget.
Or if you're talking about Frisco, Texas.
Neither of which apply to San Francisco.
Right.
So don't do it.
The other thing is that we have personified our fog.
That's right. What's our fog's name?
Carl.
He has a Twitter account. You guys can go follow him.
Carl the Fog.
Carl the Fog. And we do this really gross thing where like we'll travel to another city and it'll just like be a normal foggy day. And we'll be like, oh, hello, Carl. You followed us here to Amsterdam. Oh, thank you.
Let me just say that that's only a Leah thing. Nobody else does that.
Everybody does that.
Everybody named Leah Garcia.
No, not true. Everybody does that. There's also a random herd of bison in Golden Gate Park, one of my favorite weird factoids.
Golden Gate Park is also an amazing park that we have in the city. It's bigger than Central Park. You know,
it is.
Not to flex on you, but.
One of my top five must-dos, foreshadowing, to use your word. I'm going to talk about that later. But yeah, you can find the bison. They're somewhere in Golden Gate Park. I've only found them once. They got a lot of land to roam around in.
They don't. They're really easy to find.
Wow.
They're by Chain of Lakes Drive.
Okay. Anyway, there's also a lot of microclimates. Each neighborhood in San Francisco has its own personality and its own weather, which is like, when I say neighborhoods, we're not talking like you drive for 5 minutes and you get to like a different neighborhood. It's like literally across the street. Like you can stand on one street and be looking at Chinatown and behind you is Little Italy and they can be completely different in every way. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, you'll walk, you'll get off of transit or out of your car and it'll be like super hot. And then you'll be like, oh, I thought San Francisco was cold. And you'll walk 2 blocks and all of a sudden you're in a completely different world and you're freezing.
And this is why everybody tells you to wear layers, which like, you know, we say wear layers and that's just you're like, oh, I'll put on a jacket. That's not what we mean. What we mean is like 1 minute you're going to be 90 degrees and melting and then it's going to be 6 p.m. and you're going to be standing in the exact same spot and suddenly you're going to be freezing to death. And if you try to go to the beach, you will freeze and it is horrible.
I wish we were at the beach right now. It's really hot in here.
It is. It's extremely hot in here. Another thing that kind of drives me nuts, honestly, and I want to categorize you in this, everyone and everything in San Francisco is like at least an hour behind constantly. Everything is super flaky and everybody's just like totally okay with it. And it drives me freaking nuts.
That's California as a whole, I feel like.
It's especially bad in San Francisco. Like, you're not really considered late until you're over 2 hours late. And that includes parties. Like, we have a habit now. When we have a party, we tell all of our friends to arrive 2 hours earlier than we actually think they're going to show up.
Yeah, but our friends have gotten a lot more responsible. So can you guys stop that? If you're listening.
No, our friends are great at this point because I think we've cut out all those super flaky ones. But like, okay, do you remember like when my sister came to visit and they live on the East Coast and we had dinner reservations, which is unusual because in San Francisco, that's usually just not a thing because, you know, we like to be really bougie and elitist. But we had dinner reservations and we were trying to get there at like the right time. And a series of late events just like kept occurring. Like the BART was late, the Muni was late, the trolley was late. Everything was late and their heads were exploding. And we were just like, it's chill. This is fine. We're not. And then we showed up and they were like, it's chill. It's only 6:30. You're not even late.
I mean,
and
our reservation was 6. Your first mistake was taking the trolley. Nobody takes the trolley.
It was a touristy thing. It's nice.
Ugh, whatever.
You know, this whole episode is literally just us talking about cool things to do visiting San Francisco, right?
I know. So speaking of things that like people have to do when they come here, like some touristy, some not, what are your top 5 things that you would recommend visitors do?
So, okay, my number one thing is, it's something that you really won't find online. We haven't even written about it. It's called Jericho. It's this like super cool spy game by a company called Foxhound. Basically, it's laser tag, but the city of San Francisco is like your laser tag, like floor level. I don't know what that's called. You play laser tag. You've got like this cool like messenger bag with a gun inside and you've got like a mission and all your friends are on teams and you have to like fight with them to like run to like the Embarcadero and like steal something from a SEAL or whatever and then like shoot your friends at, you know, the middle of Union Square and then like duck and roll and like find this guy that's like wearing a mustache. It's so much fun. It's the most fun I've ever had in San Francisco.
It's a laser tag spy walking tour. That's awesome.
All right. Yeah. Well, I guess you could have described it much better than I could. I think my way was better.
Yeah,
they have all these different missions. Like they have nighttime ones, they have daytime ones. I haven't actually done all of them, but I've done a lot. We did one like bride party versus groom party, and I kicked your ass.
Okay.
You sucked at that.
Let me just say what happened. Leah's really clumsy.
Wow.
And we were in North Beach, which is Little Italy, and it's super hilly. And we were running around these hills, ducking through strip clubs, because that's what Little Italy's known for. And we got in a shootout in front of a strip club. And then Leah comes around the corner, and she's just screaming and like fake crying.
Wow,
crying. And cussing.
I had feelings.
And she was like, I rolled my ankle and you guys just kept playing. And we were like, oh shit, let's like put a hold on this really quick. Leah's actually hurt. And I didn't want her to be like super hurt for the wedding.
Meanwhile, my friends who are all like, my friends are all really good at everything. Like I've got one best friend who's a marathon runner, one best friend who's like a circus performer. And they're just like doing flips and shit off of buildings, just like running around.
Yeah, they had to get across town in like 10 minutes before the timer ran out. And then my brother-in-law and I are like tending to Leah. And it turns out that she was like spinning a yarn the whole time.
Okay, I was not spinning a yarn. I actually did roll my ankle. It actually did hurt. I had a feeling I may have played it up for the sake of drama.
May.
But it was valid. I didn't lie to you.
All right, what's number two?
Number two, actually, this is something that we stuck into our wedding guests, like little gift baskets. It's our self-guided San Francisco walking tour. So Jeremy came up with this whole route where you start at the Embarcadero, you go all the way up past the SEALs, past Pier 39, all the way up to Ghirardelli Square. You go through Coit Tower, through all that area up there. It's absolutely beautiful. And then you take the trolley back down because I think it's really fun. And we actually have the entire San Francisco walking tour on our blog. If you Google like anything, self-guided San Francisco walking tour, anything like that, you'll find it. We'll put a link to it in this podcast description. But it's really fun. It's like 6 miles. It takes like 2.5 hours. And it's a great way to see San Francisco for free on your own 2 feet. And you get to meet some SEALs, which is the best thing.
Not even halfway through episode one. And we've already got our first plug.
Wow. All right. To be fair, we also mentioned SEALs like 4 times.
I love
SEALs. So SEALs are winning.
Yeah.
There's going to be more plugs, though, because we have a lot of content about San Francisco because we live here.
Let's keep it going.
Okay. My third thing is nightlife at the Cal Academy of Sciences. So we have this awesome science museum. It's in Golden Gate Park. So you have to like navigate past like the herd of bison first. But they do this thing called nightlife every Thursday night. And it's like the whole science museum turns into like a kind of like a nightclub. Like it's 21 and up. Every week has a theme and it's all like themed around some cool sciencey thing. The food is themed. The drinks are themed. There's all these different exhibits on all the different floors, and you get to access the entire museum and also do this cool nightclub thing for like half the price of a regular admission. And you don't have to deal with kids, which, I mean, I like kids, but not when I'm drunk at a nightclub that's also a science museum, you know?
They're also all over Cal Academy during the day, so it's nice when the kids aren't there.
Yeah, it's really fun. So if you're here on a Thursday night, definitely check that out. My next thing, this kind of goes with your like Amy Schumer messy theme.
Oh, yeah.
Karaoke at Butter. So Butter is a white trash themed bar, which we love. And I'm allowed to say white trash because I'm from Kentucky. And you're allowed to say white trash because...
I was born in Bakersfield.
Yes, I was going to say it. So basically every Sunday night, Butter does karaoke. So you can get like your white trash themed drinks, which we'll talk about later, and your white trash themed food. Think like, you know, deep fried Twinkies and like ravioli out of a can, and sing karaoke. And like you might be picturing like some down home, you know, drunk mess karaoke. But this is like where serious karaokeers like come to play.
This is highbrow hot mess karaoke.
There's actually a competitive like karaoke team in San Francisco. I'm not making this up.
It's one guy that just has a competitive shirt. I can't vouch for this that it's an actual league, but he does that. We did see a shirt one time.
So you show up at like 9 and basically you need one song, and you kind of need to have practiced your song because you're only going to get to sing the one song. And I know that sounds less fun, but it's way more fun because you feel like a rock star. We love karaoke at Butter so much that we actually hired the karaoke DJ to do our wedding reception because we had a karaoke wedding reception and it was awesome.
Yeah, he's also got like really cool selection of songs that you've definitely heard these songs, whether they were in like video games or like obscure references.
He goes deep.
He's got a deep bench.
Yeah.
But there's also a caveat. If you are going to sing Bohemian Rhapsody or Don't Stop Believin', you have to pay $5.
Yeah. The KDJ's name is Roger Niner. We love him. He also does this thing where like, if you're kind of sucking on your song, he will jump in and sing with you. And he has the voice of an angel.
It's not just if you're sucking on it. If he's also into the song.
Oh yeah. And he'll harmonize with you too. Like if you don't have a duet partner, he'll be your duet partner. It's actually so fun. And you'll probably see us there if you go, because we go a lot.
I usually do Under Pressure with him.
Yeah.
It's really fun. He's Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. I usually do Britney Spears and I steal the show.
I also do Johnny Cash. That's like kind of my easy go-to.
We should probably move to the next option.
Yeah. What's the next one?
Okay. So my next one is exploring Golden Gate Park, which we already talked about. We talked about Cal Academy. We talked about the bison. It's huge. Like Golden Gate Park, we already said it's bigger than Central Park. It stretches all the way from like the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, which you've probably heard of because hippies, to the ocean. It's enormous. And you could just spend all day walking through it, biking through it. Like you'll probably come across like some cool hippies that have been there since the 60s. You'll probably come across like random other museums. The De Young Museum is in there, which is really awesome. And it's just gorgeous. There's a beautiful Japanese garden in the middle of there. And you just feel like you've stepped into Japan. There's just so much to do in there.
Yeah, you could spend days just getting lost in there.
And then while you're on that side of the city, my other one that I really love in that area is called the Batteries to Bluffs Trail. So this is one of my favorite places to view the Golden Gate Bridge because you've always got to look at it, right? Like you can't come to San Francisco and like not take a bunch of bridge selfies. But if you go to like the touristy bridge spot, there's just a bunch of tourists and a parking lot and it's just like not the best. So head up the road a little bit and you're going to go into the Presidio, which is like this beautiful national – or not national – I think it's a state park. But anyway, it's this like park area around the Golden Gate Bridge. And there's this trail that runs from these old historic batteries all the way down to the ocean. And at the bottom of the ocean, when you get to the end of the trail, is a nude beach, which is just a fun little San Francisco experience, you know? You can't say you've been to San Francisco if you didn't see like some dick.
It's not directly at the bottom of the stairs. You gotta wander around.
At the bottom of the stairs in 5 feet. And I believe this is also where Burning Man was started, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's definitely the best place to see the Golden Gate Bridge. And it's just a beautiful, it's like 1 mile trail and it's lovely. Highly recommend. What are your favorite must do's?
So a few of mine are pretty seasonal. The first one, I'm way too old to party anymore. I got that all out in the 20s, but I will say that one of the best parties, by far is Beta Breakers. which happens in the spring. And it's a marathon that starts at the bay, so on the eastern side of the city. And it goes down Market Street and down Hayes all the way over to the ocean on the other side.
You're just making this sound exhausting. It's a marathon, but that's not at all what matters.
No, that's like what it is on the surface. But really what it is everybody follows the marathon runners and just parties through the city. Everyone gets in like crazy costumes and everybody like tries to hide alcohol because like officially you can't have alcohol, but everyone is drunk. And you see super interesting costumes, and it's all like these group costumes. Our favorite one was a group dressed as the Jurassic Park ride.
They even had a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and he would like come pop up, and they would all be like,
They had the little like yellow like straps, and they would like get into order. It was super cute.
I just love how you're doing like roller coaster moves right now, which nobody can see because it's a podcast.
All right. Well, I was doing roller coaster moves.
Anyway, it's a huge party. There's so many like house parties that you pass along the route too. It's just so much fun.
My first like week that I was in San Francisco was Beta Breakers, and I lived on the route, and my roommates just woke me up with a penguin costume, a shot, and a PBR. And he was like, it's Beta Breakers. We'll explain later. Don't let anyone use our bathroom.
Which you did not follow.
No, I did follow it, but the year before they didn't. They let one person in the bathroom, and then they got finished getting ready and they walked out, and there was like a line of 20 people in the living room. That was before I moved in.
That'll happen.
Yeah, but it's super fun. Even if you're not a big drinker, last time we were there, we were sober and we still had a lot of fun.
You do, however, have to be comfortable with naked people because, like we said, it is legal here and nudity is just part of Beta Breakers. And you just, you know, you got to learn to live with it. You're in San Francisco.
We usually start like a bet that is boobs, butts, or dicks.
Yeah, and
we
say it's a game.
Which ones we're going to see the most of, and we keep a running tally.
Which I've realized, butts always win.
Because
nobody
wins.
Like covers their butt, but they're like, oh, but up front, it's all hanging out. No, butts are always out. Butts always win. Running count, eight
butts
years counting.
Always win.
Butts always win.
My other must do, my other recommendation is a picnic in Dolores Park.
Solo.
I'm hoping we cut that out.
No, we're not cutting it out.
Dolores Park is a park between the Mission and the Castro. It is one of the most beautiful views, and it's always got the best weather. And it's really easy to spot because everyone is going there, not even just on a weekend, weekdays too. It's always filled with people drinking.
Because
having,
like, nobody in San Francisco has a job, apparently.
Yeah. And like everyone brings their dogs, everyone brings like some elaborate game. I remember seeing giant beer pong where they had like the Rubbermaid trash cans instead of red Solo cups.
That's amazing.
And they use a beach ball.
I might actually be able to do that. I may be pretty good at that.
Yeah. There's also a guy, Michael, also known as the Rum Coconut Guy. He's got long dreads and he just walks around with a bag of machete and a cooler. And then he'll just pull a coconut out and offer you like a coconut, and then he'll hack it up. And then pour rum in it if you want.
And there's the girl with the like Swiss Miss outfit with the edibles.
Yeah, she's got edibles of all kinds. Like, and they're all cereal based. So it's like, I really like fruit. Like, I really like Apple Jacks. So I want to have an Apple Jacks edible.
And note, like, weed is legal in California, but this has been going on since long time ago, way before it was actually legal. But they're still there. Like, they don't care. Anytime somebody in Dolores Park walks up and like offers you something, just, you know, buy it. It's probably fine.
But also assume it's got weed in it.
Yeah. There's even an app. You can like find your friends in Dolores Park with this like most San Francisco app that I've ever heard of. It's called Dolo, right?
Yeah. Another thing that I always say to do, and again, this is only half the year, but you have to go to a Giants game. Oracle Park is beautiful. And
I still
got,
call it AT&T. Sorry.
I know. It used to be AT&T. Used to be Pac Bell.
No. That's too old.
Yeah. So it's one of the most, it actually is the most beautiful park in the country. Ballpark, I mean.
Is that just like you saying that or?
No, that was the Major League Baseball Association.
Okay.
Nerd. They have a ton of great food because it's San Francisco. We have the best food. Don't at me. But got really good food. Our,
like the garlic fries.
Our team.
So good.
Our team used to be good.
Wow. I don't think you're allowed to be a fan if you say that.
No,
odd years.
That hasn't been. Oh, it was even years. Okay. That hasn't been the case since 2014.
You know what? Go A's. All right, I live in Oakland.
All right. There's also really good drink options. Ghirardelli has their like salted caramel hot chocolate.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say.
Yeah. Go see a game, but it does get freezing if it's a night game or blazing hot if it's a day game.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of sun exposure.
And you also get really like moist. Like if you're still at the park at like 9 p.m. No, it's true.
Why
like
moist?
Because the fog rolls in. The fog rolls in and you just realize you're just soaking wet, even though it's like not raining in theory. And then a bunch of seagulls start like circling overhead and you just kind of around like 10 p.m. You just feel like you're in like the birds. You got to get out of there.
If you've ever been to a baseball game, you know that around the seventh inning stretch, you're thinking, oh, they're up by a few points. The game might turn. But you also know that there's very few dramatic endings to baseball games. So I will say that if you get to that point and you realize that the game's going to go one way, just go.
Just go.
It's impossible to get on the first train home. Mm-hmm. You're going to be there. You're going to be out until midnight.
Mm-hmm.
My fourth thing is to see a show. Now, that can mean a few things. So it can mean a concert, a play. It could mean drag show. There's tons of venues where this is possible. There's a lot of more independent places like Bottom of the Hill is a smaller venue, but it's really famous because a lot of now famous people have played there. The Mission has a ton of different venues. Potrero Hill has a lot. The Tenderloin has a lot. You can just find like either a small or a large one. And most days of the week, there's either going to be a concert, a drag show, or a play. So the Orpheum and the ACT Theater have off-Broadway shows. So we just saw Hamilton there,
mm-hmm.
Which you hated.
All right, we're not going to talk about that. I didn't hate it. I just, anyway, we're going to just, thanks a lot for putting me on blast on our podcast. Yeah. Our favorite drag show is coming up next month. We've been seeing it for the last few years. It's a Buffy the Vampire Slayer drag show. They take a whole season of Buffy and they make it into the most amazing, epic drag show. Like there's like special effects. It's ridiculously good. Like the production quality is like, I was blown away.
My last thing, and again, this is seasonal because it's usually just hot weather and you have a ton of options here, but go to a festival. There are music festivals such as Hardly Strictly Bluegrass.
Outside Lands,
exactly. But there's also tons of like street fairs, like the How Weird Festival kicks off the festival season in April. The Pride Festival is huge, obviously. There's the Folsom Street Festival, which if you're in the city in September, it's the last Sunday of September. So Folsom is the leather festival.
We're talking about like kink, not just like, you know, cowboys. I mean, there are cowboys.
There's cowboys.
But we're talking about like kink leather, which is awesome if you're into that. Is a little jarring if you're just here with like your family and you didn't have that discussion beforehand, maybe.
Just know if you are coming in September to check if you are coming during Folsom Street Fair. It's a lot of fun. If you are willing to be in that space and not be judgmental in that space.
And to understand boundaries and consent and all that kind of thing, which is very, very much enforced there.
Yeah.
But Butter, which is right next to Folsom, we talked about karaoke. Butter after Folsom Street Fair is a blast.
Oh, it is.
It is next level.
It is wild. Because Folsom starts like before noon and karaoke doesn't start until 9:30 p.m.
So
people have been getting real messy.
Yeah, bring your corset.
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned one of the best things that San Francisco has is our food.
That's my like eighth best thing to do in San Francisco is just like eat everything. We have the best food here.
What would you say is like one of the tops?
Okay, so you can't come to San Francisco and not have clam chowder in a bread bowl. Like I know it's cliche, but it's cliche for a reason because it's delicious and super filling and cozy, and it's always like cold and foggy, right? So I talked about our like self-guided walking tour. That's one of the things along the tour, because you pass right by the Boudin Bakery. Like they have like a factory where they make sourdough and they create these little sourdough bread bowls and also like adorable sourdough animals in the shape of turtles, which is my favorite. And then they put like clam chowder in it and it's really good. And honestly, like I won't tell you it's like the best like clam chowder in the world. The bread is pretty good. But it's just like one of those classic San Francisco things. And it is really like cozy and it hits the spot every time.
I grew up in a coastal town. And so I grew up eating clam chowder in a bread bowl. And I will say that I still am not tired of San Francisco's clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Yeah, it's good for a reason.
Yeah. I have a place in my heart very near and dear for burritos. San Francisco.
I feel like it's your whole heart. I feel like your heart is actually just burrito shaped.
Yeah, it's the doctor says I need less. It's really unhealthy. So San Francisco really loves their burritos. So much, in fact, that that they will fight you if you like the wrong burrito.
I think and you're just talking about yourself.
Yeah, I'll fight you if you say you like the wrong burrito.
But no, you're right. It's a San Francisco thing.
There was a national competition for the best burrito in the country, and San Francisco held two of the four finalist spots. Now, there are two that are my go-tos. The first one is Taqueria Cancun, but they have a couple of locations. The one at 19th and Mission is the best one.
I can't believe you have a specific location.
Do you not?
That's so ridiculous.
How long have you lived here?
I told you I live in Oakland.
The other one that I really like is El Farolito on 24th and Mission. But the actual winner of the competition was La Taqueria. All three of them, good options. But I do love Taqueria Cancun the most.
Okay. You're not going to back that claim up? We're going to have a bunch of angry people and you're just going to leave that there?
No. Those people are going to walk down Mission Street and have three burritos and then tweet at us saying that I was right. The first one was the best.
I would like pictures to go with that.
Yes.
When you do that. At Practical Wander. Thank you. I'm going to say if you want a burger in San Francisco, your best bet is Super Duper. It's not something that we're like super known for, but Super Duper is definitely, other than In-N-Out, like a classic burger place to go in San Francisco. I would also add oysters to the list. Oysters are like a local thing. There's a whole bunch of local oyster farms up near Point Reyes. And we get like really good, like usually about $1 each oysters. And you can get those at Swan Depot. They are delicious. Just, I know they're kind of like squishy or whatever, but like just shoot them. They're actually really good.
One of my favorite places has actually gone through a lot of changes. And it's one of the more bougie places in San Francisco. It used to be called Bar Tartine. And then the restaurant closed and they kept open their bakery. But now the restaurant's back and it's called Tartine Manufactory.
And we had our second date at Bar Tartine.
Yeah.
So it holds a special place in our hearts.
Yeah. That's a really special place for us because, yeah, it's our second date. And I scrimped and saved for that date.
For like years, I imagine.
Your boy was broke.
It was sweet, though. He was like sweating when we sat down and he looked at the menu and I could tell. So I think we like ordered like one appetizer to share and just like savored it for a while. But it was really cute. And you paid, which was nice.
It was one of those I'll take the salad and a water situation.
Yeah. And I think we shared the salad and the water.
California was in a drought at the time.
Another one is you got to get dumplings. Like San Francisco has a really rich history with Asian culture and we have incredible Asian food. One of the best places to get soup dumplings is Dumpling Kitchen, which is like over on the western side of San Francisco around Golden Gate Park. You'll be getting into the foggier areas, so bring layers. But the soup dumplings are like the coziest, pillowiest little fluff balls of soup and they are so good.
The next place that I would recommend is called Foreign Cinema, and it is always on like the top restaurants of San Francisco. It's been on there for years now.
Yeah, it's been one of the best restaurants in San Francisco for a minute.
Yeah, so you sit outside, there's like a little awning, and you eat while there's like a giant projector playing a foreign film. And
oh, hence the name.
Hence the name.
Oh, wow.
We went there once on a scavenger hunt date, which we'll talk about later.
Future episode.
And
it was awesome.
Yeah, but we were way too shithouse to enjoy that meal.
I remember it. I remember being like, this is the best steak I've ever had. And then I think I might have threw it up later and felt really bad about it.
Oof.
It was so good. And then the other really good, like fancier spot, which is still surprisingly affordable if you want to like ball out, but like not like French Laundry ball out, which is like $400 a meal. This is more like in like the $30 kind of range, is Nopa. And it's an awesome restaurant. It's definitely foodie and bougie, but like affordable. And you can, if you sit in the second level, you can like watch them in the kitchen, which is really fun. It's like dinner and a show.
Yeah, we did that a couple of times, except one time there was a fire in the kitchen.
Probably our faults. We just bring bad luck everywhere we go.
We do. That's a theme throughout this podcast.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
What about drinks? Like, now I'm thirsty. What are your favorite drinks in San Francisco?
One of my favorite places to get a drink is Ritual Coffee. But like...
A coffee drink.
That's a coffee drink.
Not a whiskey drink. He takes a coffee drink. Am I the only one that thinks that's funny? Okay, whatever.
They're not all going to land. I mean, if you want to merge coffee and a whiskey drink, there's Buena Vista Cafe.
Yeah, I love Buena Vista Cafe. They were the first restaurant or bar, I guess, to introduce Irish coffee in, they say, all of North America, but definitely at least San Francisco. And it's like they do the whole thing, like they age it, and it's really freaking good. If you go to like the very back of the restaurant, there's this little room that nobody ever really knows about with this window that looks out on the water, like out on over Ghirardelli Square, and it's really, really pretty.
Yeah, you can also get your coffee. You can get it with whiskey or cognac.
Whiskey.
Or brandy. You sort of choose what alcohol you want.
I also will say you glossed right over another opportunity for a completely shameless self-promotion, which is that if you Google the best coffee shops in San Francisco, you will find our blog on it. We have a guide. Yeah. It was written by a barista in San Francisco.
Shout out to Tom.
Yeah, Jeremy, actually, when we met, was a barista in San Francisco, which is probably why we're married.
Living that high life, you know?
That's like trophy husband goals for me. He does make me coffee every single morning and brings it to me in bed, so.
Sometimes it's instant.
I love how much like shame you had when you said that, as if it's not still like the sweetest thing.
they don't let me into coffee shops now because
like,
I said that.
It's like good instant though. You know, Ritual has $5 per packet instant coffee now.
They do.
That's crazy to me.
So since we're phasing into booze, my two favorite bars are actually owned by the same company, and those are Bourbon and Branch and Tradition. And all of this company's bars are like speakeasy themed, but sort of at different varying levels. They're all prohibition themed, let's say. And Bourbon and Branch is super speakeasy. You need a code word to get inside, and the code word decides which room you get into. So you can go to the normal like booths, or
we're not going to tell you the password.
Yeah, or you can go into the library area, which is sort of standing room only.
Or you can go into the secret detective agency, which is where we had that like fancy cocktail class that we took. I didn't even know there was a secret detective agency inside the bar, but it turns out if you take a cocktail class there, you get to go in it.
Yeah, the whole bar is hidden. So you just walk past and it doesn't look like anything. But then if you take a class, you're in the detective agency. And now I can't not see the detective agency.
Yeah, now we know. Our eyes have been opened.
But then Tradition is a little bit more like a regular bar. There's no password. It still looks prohibition-esque, but they do their own caskings. So one of my favorites is they have a 12-year Balmore Scotch that's aged in a Pinot Noir cask.
You sounded so douchey saying that. Like, I love you, but like you did.
Yeah, whatever. It's delicious.
If you just like beer and you're like just rolling your eyes listening to us talk about fancy drinks, my favorite place to go for beer is called Golden Gate Tap Room. They have like, I don't know, hundreds of different beers and like all these fun games. And they have like really ridiculous shit. Like I'm a beer snob and I like only enjoy Belgian beer because Belgian ruined us, which is a future episode. But they have some really good Belgian imports and it's a good time.
Plus skee ball. I mean, how can you lose at skee ball?
Yeah. Another good one for like a more casual night is Butter. So we talked about Butter already. It's real down home. It's real trashy. And they have like the best drinks and they pour them strong. My favorite is called Latchkey Tea. It's Long Island, except for it's made with strawberry soda instead of Coke.
It's delicious.
And then you like the Junkyard Dog, right?
Yeah, the Junkyard Dog. It's vanilla Stoli vodka and root beer. But it's like the good root beer, the Thomas Keller or whatever it's called. And then I also like the Cherry Bomb. It's black cherry vodka with squirt. And it tastes as messy as it sounds.
Yeah, Butter is a hot mess. They also do Jello shots.
Oh, and two for five.
And if you order a Jello shot, they just bring them around for everybody, which I love. Yeah. You can never not get drunk at Butter. It's the best.
Sometimes it's like too much.
That's just because we're old, honey.
That's true.
I also have to shout out to some tiki rooms. Like, okay, so first of all, Oakland invented the tiki room. Let's just say it. That was us. But San Francisco has some really good ones. So they've got the Tonga Room, which is in the Fairmont. And we're going to talk about the Fairmont more in a minute. But it's super cool. They have like a pool in the middle of the room. There's like a thunderstorm every few minutes. And always have like live music playing. It's a really good time. And then they have Smuggler's Cove. So Smuggler's Cove is a cute little bar in San Francisco. It's kind of tucked away. You have to like find it. But they have over 700 different types of rum. And their menu is organized by like history of rum. So it's like educational. Like you learn things like the history of Jamaican rum and the history of Dominican rum. And like all of the bartenders are like encyclopedias of rum. And then also you're getting drunk from like a giant bowl of flaming delicious rum drink. It's a great time.
It's also a really cool ambiance because when you walk in, you look, it looks like you're in a pirate ship. Like there's three bars and the top one looks like you have to climb to a crow's nest.
Yeah, it's really fun. So after you get like really drunk and you had your dinner, what are your favorite like treats? Like where would you go get like a little dessert?
So I'm a big connoisseur of ice cream.
You look so proud of yourself as you said that. There's just like a glow about you right now.
There's a lot of really good ice cream spots in San Francisco, but one that I think is above all is called Humphrey Slocum.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong with any of the flavors with Humphrey Slocum. I prefer Secret Breakfast, which has like bourbon caramel and cereal on it.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but I like everything else at Humphrey Slocum. There's one in the Ferry Building. So when you're starting out on your self-guided walking tour of San Francisco, you can go there first. Just putting it out there.
They had an episode with prosciutto ice cream on like Good Eats or something.
Yeah.
Humphrey Slocum.
Something famous. We should probably have looked that up. speaking of things that are in the Ferry Building, Dandelion Chocolate. I love Dandelion Chocolate. It's like fancy bougie, like single origin chocolate. They do bean to bar and their like original location is in the Mission. You can go there and take like tasting classes. And my favorite thing is that they have a bunch of free samples, which I absolutely abuse. But they're really, really good. Really good chocolate. Well, you know what? We just gave them free promo. So now they can pay their rent with exposure. You're welcome, Dandelion. I'll send you an invoice.
One of the stops that I always go to on messy nights, especially messy nights in the Castro, is Hot Cookie, which is a cookie shop on 16th and Market that is famous for their dick-shaped cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
There's also female torsos.
Yeah, no, it's like an equal opportunity dirty cookie place.
Yeah,
but it's not that Hot Cookie is like the best cookie of your life, but it's just like a really good time.
I disagree with you. I think their regular cookies are really good, but you just don't like macaroons and the dicks are all macaroons.
That's true. That's true. But I just always think about like, so one time we were standing in line at Hot Cookie after a really fun night out in the Castro. It may have been to see a drag show.
It was
Buffy last year. And we're like standing in line and this guy who's clearly from out of town is like looking at this long line of people outside of this tiny little window. And he's just looking back and forth. He goes up to look at the cookies. He comes back and he just like starts like shouting in confusion. And he's like, is it just because they're shaped like penises? And everybody in that line was just like, yes. Yeah, that's why. That's the whole thing. And it's true. That's the whole thing. That's enough.
They're really good. They also sell merch, and that merch is just tiny underwear.
How many times have we talked about penises in this episode?
Like, not enough.
More than seals at this point, I think. Possibly even more than self-promo.
All right.
Truly amazing.
The dicks are winning.
The dicks are winning this time. Okay, one last one is a coconut bun in Chinatown. And I can't like tell you a specific place because I always forget and I can never find them. But there's like these little $1 coconut buns in a random bakery in Chinatown, probably all of them, and they are delicious. Just really good.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with Chinese bakery treats.
Or just anywhere in Chinatown. And they have the Fortune Cookie Factory there, which is really fun to like get little broken ones.
They do. They sell like a giant bag of broken ones for super cheap.
I want to say we invented the fortune cookie.
I think that's true. One of our listeners should let us know.
Yeah. Did we just make that up?
Did we just make up a giant, giant false statement?
Which actually, that leads me to another point, though. Like, we invented a lot of shit, and we've got, like, quite a history. Why do you think San Francisco is, like, such a big deal? And, like, we are a big deal. Let's just be honest about it. We're a big deal. Why are we such a big deal?
I think San Francisco just brings out a few, like, tropes. It's always dreamers and people on the fringes of society. So I think of that when I think of like the gold rush. We came out here because there's enterprising spirits, but they were also already sort of on the fringe. They were already sort of weird. They were like frontiers people. And then when we get to like the 1900s.
Hold on, you're skipping over the whole part where like they showed up with like their enterprising spirits and just pushed out like all of the first Americans who were already living here. Let's just talk about it. That happened. That sucked.
Yeah, it absolutely sucked. Which also, I mean, it's home to a lot of enterprising people who do push out people and without very little care for somebody else's experience.
That's also the origin, I found out this weekend, that's the origin of how Chinese immigration came to San Francisco. That they were actually part of the gold rush. They came along with the entrepreneurs. Some of them were business people. Some of them were helping with business people's various needs, like vegetable growing, I think, was one of their major jobs. Anyway, I literally just learned this all this weekend because we were in Nevada City, which is a cute little gold rush town, which we won't talk about now. But we have this really fascinating history. And that was like kind of the beginning of San Francisco as we know it today.
Yeah. And I think you still see pieces of that in a different form today. I mean, anybody who's lived in San Francisco their whole lives or even a few years, you know, the big thing that people always say is that, you know, gentrification is changing it. And I think that's part of what San Francisco is. Everybody has their San Francisco, right?
Yeah, like there was Eureka San Francisco and turn of the century San Francisco. And then there was like Summer of Love San Francisco. And then there was Silicon Valley San Francisco. And the constant in all of those San Franciscos is that it's constantly changing. And it's constantly whatever is the next big thing and the next like big idea in American culture, for good or for bad. It makes huge changes.
Well, I mean, from some people, it's always for bad. For some, it's for good. I mean, if you go to San Francisco now, we have a really big problem with homelessness. Because
we have the largest population density of homeless per capita.
And it's a couple of factors, the main ones being that historically, homeless were okay here. And so cities like Las Vegas specifically and LA, they put their homeless on a bus and say, go to San Francisco. They have way more resources than we do. And then add to that, the tech boom right now is closing up homes and shops to make room for high rises and office spaces. And it's putting more families out on the street or pushing them out of their neighborhood that they've been in for generations. And then add to that, that our former mayor, our late mayor, Ed Lee, was really problematic in his solutions about homelessness.
Yeah. I also want to go back, like just circle back to your point about other cities sending us their homeless, because they did used to be able to accommodate for that, right? Like we used to have plenty of space. But something that you'll notice when you're visiting San Francisco is that quite a lot of our homeless are also experiencing mental health crises. We have a lot of unmedicated, unmedicated schizophrenics in San Francisco. So you'll notice walking down the streets, you'll see somebody like talking to themselves, screaming to themselves. And it's very clear that that's a person who's experiencing homelessness. And there's like reasons for that. Not only were people released from healthcare institutions, mental institutions years and years ago, and have never been able to get help ever since. But when you're talking about like illegal shipping of homeless people up to San Francisco, most of them were mentally ill, people who didn't have any kind of resources, didn't have healthcare, didn't have family to pay for them. They were the people that needed the most help. And it's just incredibly cruel that some cities were shown to be shipping people that need mental help to San Francisco. So it's really something to keep in mind, that when you are seeing those people that are having mental health crises, they're more danger to themselves than they are to you. Like they're not out to hurt you. They're not criminals. They're on the streets because they need medication that they can't access. And homelessness has been shown to exacerbate mental illnesses. So it's actually very triggering and very harmful for them to be homeless, to be unstable. And another issue that you'll notice while you're visiting San Francisco, there's a lot of like bad smells. There's a lot of human waste. It's not pretty. I don't want to gloss over it. The reason why is because there's not enough public restrooms in San Francisco. And so for our homeless neighbors who live here, they don't have a safe place to bathe. They don't have a safe place to use the restroom. And it's inhumane, honestly. And so I really would encourage you while you're visiting to have compassion and empathy, because those are people, right? They are our neighbors. They are San Francisco residents, and we don't have the resources to be able to help them in the way that they need to be helped. And so they are experiencing something much more unpleasant than you are when you have to hold your breath or, you know, walk by and be a little bit bothered by them screaming. They are really they have it a lot worse than you. So please show some compassion and empathy for them.
Yeah. And you know, you might be thinking, well, if I'm visiting, how am I contributing to like the bad side of this? Am I contributing to gentrification by being here because I'm staying at like an Airbnb or...
Which if you're staying in an Airbnb, maybe.
Maybe.
Depends on where. We actually do have a guide on where to stay in San Francisco, which really does dive into the gentrification issue. We've got a lot of recommendations on like different neighborhoods to stay in and different kinds of accommodations that we recommend staying in so that you won't be directly contributing to gentrification. But tourism as a whole, and this, I mean, I could go on about this for hours, but tourism can really benefit a city and creates a lot of jobs, provides a lot of economy. So don't feel like you shouldn't come here because we're experiencing extreme gentrification, but do so mindfully and make sure to educate yourselves about some of the issues that you'll experience while you're here.
Yeah, it's a great city to visit. It's a beautiful city. It's a vibrant city. It's a romantic city. Just educate yourself and make sure that you are traveling ethically and responsibly.
Yeah. Which is a weird pivot, but you said romantic. And I kind of want to talk about our most romantic story in San Francisco.
It is a weird pivot.
It's a weird pivot.
Well, let's do it.
I don't know how to do that.
There's no graceful way to do this.
There's no graceful way to end that conversation that we just had. My favorite San Francisco story is about the time. Well, first, it's about one of our first dates.
Yeah. So we're a few months into dating and we go to this fancy sushi date in San Francisco. And on that date, Leah's got a weird sense of humor. And they were.
What?
They were.
Whoomst.
They were getting the table set up for like the breakfast service or whatever. And they had these tiny little jars of jam and mustard.
They were really cute. They were really super cute little jars.
They were super cute. They were like the size of a thimble. They were really tiny. I don't even know how you were supposed to get all of the jam out of there. But Leah thought it would be funny if we would just steal them. So she was like, what if you just go up and steal the jars?
What kind of imitation of me is that?
That's you when you're laughing and trying to talk.
I don't know if I was laughing. I might have just been like, all right, guy that we've been on three dates with, here's what we're going to do.
It was more than three.
We're going to steal all these jars.
So anyway, I don't want to be a wet blanket. I'll save that for after we're married. And
wow.
I'm like, fine, let's steal these jars. So one of us like distracts the waitress.
We had like a whole song and dance.
Yeah. And then we do like a weird little creep around the table and just swoop one of the jars.
Yep. It was pretty smooth, honestly. And that was the point in which we descended into a night of pure criminal exploitation. We became like extreme criminals, you guys. This is the story about the time that we were criminals.
Yeah, we decided that we were going to steal every useless thing that we could find.
Like everything that like nobody would care if somebody stole it, we were going to steal it.
We rode the elevator down from the restaurant because it was on the third floor. And those little floor marking signs at the end of the elevators, one of them, the glue was coming off. And so I took it.
We stole it. We stole that. It was number three. I still have it in our apartment.
I didn't give a fuck.
We super stole
it. That's how intense I am.
We were bad. We were so bad.
We took like, it was such dumb stuff. It was like mints when we like didn't talk to the person who was handing out the mints or like a toothpick or I think I grabbed a piece of potpourri that was on a counter.
We had like this little collection and then I decided to take it up a notch and I was like, all right, it's really cool that we're stealing stuff, but let's go sneak into stuff. I want to trespass because we were dressed up like really fancy. Like you were wearing like your fanciest suit from H&M that cost $20 and I was wearing like a thrift store dress and I was like, we're fancy now. Let's go sneak into stuff like we belong there.
So we went to this hotel that we won't say which it is, but it has a famous elevator.
We're not going to tell you which one it is because we are full on going to tell you a bunch of secrets about it that you should not do. So it's got a famous elevator, which we won't tell you about. But what we can tell you is that you can take that elevator up to a very cool tower with a very cool view, except for you have to have a room key to take the elevator.
Yeah, we snuck behind these fancy old people who clearly were going up to the tower.
And we just like acted like we also were going up to the tower.
He pressed the button and I was like, oh yeah, same floor. I think I harumphed.
I was like,
profits. So we went up there and we went through an emergency exit door and it was.
We just started like skulking around the floor, like poking stuff and like
stealing mints,
seeing what we could steal.
stealing moist towelettes from the maid cart.
Oh, we did steal a moist towelette.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then we found like this door and we were like, let's open this door. Cause you know, we were hardened criminals at this point. We were like, let's open this door and trespass some more. And it was like this really cool, like little like fire escape way up in like this like top floor of this tower that looked out over the twinkling lights of San Francisco. And it was so romantic.
This story is not going to get sexy.
There is no sex happened. But I will say that one of the things people do in this famous elevator that we won't tell you anything about is they hit the emergency stop button and the bang.
Yep.
Which we didn't do.
We did not do that.
We are definitely not that cool.
So we walked to the Fairmont and we started wandering around to steal more stuff.
I want to take this, like, I want to just apologize to the Fairmont here. We love the Fairmont. We have a lot of love for this specific San Francisco Fairmont hotel in Nob Hill. But we definitely bent some rules during our visit to the Fairmont. We definitely may have stolen some blocks of soap, I think, and some mints. They had some cute little pillow mints and we weren't staying there and we took some.
This was the only remotely big deal steal that we had, actually.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I pulled a piece off of a chandelier in a conference room.
I guarded the door. I guarded the door. Jeremy stole a piece of the chandelier. Look, Fairmont Hotel, if you want your piece of chandelier shaped like a pine cone back, we still have it somewhere in our apartment. You can have it back. But yes, we did steal it. We are horrible people.
So after our thefts were done and we had made off with the booty,
we had like a whole collection of like random shit too.
We went down to a terrace room and there was an Indian wedding going on.
And we were just like, let's crash this wedding. And then we realized, like, we shouldn't crash a wedding. That's not okay. But it was really fun for, like, the 5 minutes that we were there before we realized that we were being the rudest people.
Everything smelled so good. I just wanted to, like, plow through their buffet.
And it was like, everybody was dancing and, like, it was so much fun. We did not plow through their buffet. That was, like, that was the line. We were like, all right, no further. So we went out to the rooftop.
It's got this rooftop terrace that looks over the city. It's got these big palm trees with lights. It's super romantic.
It was so romantic. We're like gazing out at the twinkling lights of San Francisco while the fog rolled in. And this was like our third date.
It wasn't our third date. Why do you keep saying that?
I don't know. Third month of dating. It was early.
We went to the edge of the terrace and it was super romantic. We at this point hadn't said I love you yet.
No, but we're like gazing into each other's eyes. And I was like, he's going to do it. This is the perfect time to say I love you.
And then I said, so do you want to go downstairs to the Tonga Room for a nightcap?
And it was the most disappointing thing ever. Although the Tonga Room was great.
I love the Tonga Room. But yeah, I did not say I love you there. I should have. We'll get into the actual story of when I said that at a different episode. So a few months go by.
It was like 6 months. It was real early.
And it's our anniversary. And I have this grand scheme that I'm going to ask Leah to marry me. Aww. She had no idea.
Are you kidding me? I knew the next day after the Fairmont. I was that's what he's going to do. And he's going to do it on our anniversary.
She was clueless.
Mm-hmm.
So I reenacted a bunch of dates that we had had in our first year. We had a picnic at the ferry building. We love a picnic. It was Christmas time. And so there was ice skating in Union Square.
Oh, it's so romantic that time of the year.
Yeah. I love Union Square in Christmas time. It's the only time I like Union Square. Mm-hmm. But we went to Union Square to go ice skating. And Leah took one look at people ice skating and was like, nope.
I have like fragile knees.
And you're super clumsy.
And I'm really clumsy. And we snuck back up to that elevator.
Yeah.
That shall not be named.
We went back up the elevator.
We went to the emergency exit stovepipe.
Mm-hmm. Standpipe.
Whatever.
Stovepipe. Frosty the Snowman.
Whatever. We trespassed again. It was a good time.
And then we had dinner at Bar Tartine, which is now Tartine Manufactory, and then went back to the Fairmont.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Leah still has no idea.
Oh, my God.
And we're wandering the Fairmont. There's a beautiful gingerbread house because it's Christmas. And we walk out on the terrace.
No, hold on. You rushed me past the gingerbread house. I was like, oh my God, I want to look at all the gingerbread houses. It's so pretty. And you were like, no, we have to go up to the roof right now. And I was like, why?
I was like, gotta go. It's because I had set this up where our friend was waiting in a bush in the freezing cold December weather of San Francisco.
I think she was there for a while, too.
She was there for so long. And do you want to say what happened next?
you asked me to marry you.
Boom.
And you opened it by being like, 1 year ago today.
It wasn't a year ago today.
Whatever. I should have asked you to marry me.
Nope.
Okay, hold on. Let me do this.
You're terrible at this. I said that I should have said that I love you there because it was super romantic. And yeah. I decided that I was going to make up for it right now. And then I got down on that knee.
And I was like, oh, you're tying your shoe? And our friend was like hiding in the bush.
Taking
freezing.
Really low quality pictures.
They were the worst quality pictures. They were like blurry cell phone pictures in the middle of the night. And it was, you can't see anything.
Sorry.
It was not worth it.
Sorry, V. Call her V.
But there was like a really drunk couple that swore that they had pictures for us. Never sent them to us. We're still waiting on those. If you're out there, please send us our wedding pictures.
Come on, Heather.
And then we went down to the Tonga Room and we celebrated with all of our friends. You'd like arranged a surprise party.
Yeah, I arranged a surprise. That one you actually didn't see coming.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So.
And you didn't see coming when I booked our wedding night after our wedding at the Fairmont, because we can't afford that shit without credit card points.
That part of the story does get sexy.
Ew. Don't. I feel so violated now.
We love the Fairmont, and the Fairmont in San Francisco holds a special place in our heart because we have so many moments there, and it's such a beautiful place.
This is not sponsored by the Fairmont, but if y'all are listening,
I mean, we're not turning away sponsorships.
Hit us up. Yeah, that was my favorite San Francisco story. It was super romantic. You're a big old softy. We're real mushy and disgusting.
Yep.
And I love you a lot.
Yeah. I know that we gave San Francisco a lot of love, but we live in Oakland, but I promise that we have an Oakland episode coming up because Oakland is one of the best
and
cities.
And it's super different than San Francisco.
Ever. Yeah.
But we'll do that on a future episode. And I think to close off this episode, what if we did like a little mashup of all of our favorite San Francisco songs, but like only like a few seconds each so that we don't violate their copyright? What do you think?
A little mashup.
When the lights go down in the city. San Francisco.
I left my love in San Francisco.
San Francisco's calling us. The Giants and Mets will play.
Well, I lost my head in San Francisco. Waiting for
the well, I'm going out to San Francisco. Headed for the Frisco Bay.